Well, this is particularly exciting and interesting to me since I'm having a baby in about 2 months. So my husband is involved, and the more he hears that, the better. Be involved, be there, you're a big part of it. So this is actually work that I did as part of a master's thesis. So co-authors on the paper are Brianna Magnuson and Brad Niger. I'm Sarah Van Wagenen. And a particular shout-out to Stephanie Lutz, who's here today, who helped me with the very start of this project years ago. So, again, like I said, it was exciting to me at the time, but now that I'm a couple months out from having my own baby, this is even more exciting to me and more interesting to me. So just to share with you, the research that we did was on attitudes towards breastfeeding among U.S. males between the ages of 21 and 44, so no relationships to disclose. Background on it, I don't have to really go into details. You know, there are lower breastfeeding rates than what we would like to see right now. The U.S. Surgeon General has identified lack of support from fathers or partners as a particular barrier that needs to be overcome, that needs to be addressed. And just has been shared, you know, to this point in time by the other presenters, this is an area that has lacked a lot of attention over the entire life course of really the whole maternal child health process. So now we're really drawing in to fathers and what we need from them in order to be successful in all of the areas of maternal and child health. So they are a very important source of breastfeeding support. However, the research, as has been mentioned, very, very limited. There's nothing that really tells us much about men and how they're involved. So just to go into exactly what we did, how we studied, all of the different data that we collected, we put together a survey. It was a cross-sectional analysis that was done among just over 500 U.S. males. We did limit the age range from 21 to 44 so that it would be a group that's more likely to be supporting someone who is breastfeeding. And then we did have sampling quotas for race and ethnicity to try and make a sample most similar to the U.S. population. And then had an equal distribution of fathers and non-fathers. So half of our participants were fathers, half were non-fathers. And just the design of the survey itself, what was sent to them, what they completed, there was a 17-item survey that's called the Iowa Infant Feeding Attitude Scale. I will refer to it as IFIS from here on out because it's kind of long. So that was one piece of it, and then we had some exposure to breastfeeding questions that were adapted from a reproductive health survey, and then basic demographic questions. So the Iowa Infant Feeding Attitude Scale, what that goes into, it's questions or statements that they would either respond that they agreed with, highly agreed with, or did not agree with. And so there was a range, a Likert scale, 1 to 5, the highest score that someone could get on it if everything that they scored was very, very positive towards breastfeeding was an 85. If it was the opposite, very, very negative towards breastfeeding, then it was a 17. So that was the range of this scale. It was validated among women in 1999. It was first made for understanding how behavior and intention were related to each other. So mothers were given this survey before they gave birth, and then afterwards we were testing to see if that matched, if they were actually breastfeeding, if the intention was at all matched with whether or not they were actually doing the behavior. So the first time it was actually validated among men was among expectant fathers in 2004. And this is only the second time that it's been used in published literature, as far as we've found, actually among men. So it was a big part of this design was to learn how men feel about breastfeeding, what their attitudes are. to analyze the data that we received, we did frequencies, proportions, and means, analysis of variance, just to test the difference in means across demographics. So does socioeconomic play into it? Does education play into it? Does past experience as a father versus a non-father play into it? Those were the things that we were testing for. So the exciting part, always the exciting part, is the results. So this is the part where, just to go through what we actually found. So our range, we had the lowest score on the test was 25, on the actual scale was 25. Highest score was, I believe, an 83. And then our mean was 57. So not low, but also not high, kind of just right there in the middle. If they had answered, just to give you an idea, if they'd answered 3 on every single one of the scale items, which is a neutral, like, I don't care that much about it, and I also don't not care about it, then the score would be 51. So there's just a slight shift towards positive, but not to a degree where we can feel really strongly about that. Highest scores on the IFAS were college graduates, so we see a link to education. Those between the ages of 40 and 44, again, a link to age. And then those in unmarried couples, which was very interesting. I don't know how to describe that. I don't know what, like, exactly how that finding would be explained. So responses to the actual line items on the IFAS. This is a positive slide, makes us feel really good about everything. So 90% agreed breastfeeding was less expensive than formula. I don't think that's something you can really argue, so I'm kind of surprised there's still a 10% that didn't agree with that. But 81% agreed breastfeeding increased the mother-infant bond. That's a really good thing to hear. You know, they recognize there's a bond. 75.1, breastfeeding was the most ideal food for infants. This all looks really, really good. And then we have some things that make us not feel so good. So just some things that stood out. They understand the importance of breastfeeding. They understand certain aspects of breastfeeding. Here we saw 30.5 felt that breast milk was healthier for infants than formula, which is good, a third. However, more felt that formula was just as healthy. So that's an area where we can be working, you know, prenatally to say, here's information about breastfeeding, here's information about formula feeding, so that there's an increased education on the subject. Here we have majorities that are, again, positive, 58.6, agreed mothers who formula fed missed one of the joys of motherhood, 61.4 agreed that babies who are breastfed milk are healthier than babies fed formula. And then 62.7 agreed breast milk is more easily digested than formula. So there is a certain level of knowledge about the health of breastfeeding. However, we only saw 38.6 were in support of women breastfeeding in public, which is something that can be really difficult. If there's not more support than that, women feel that and they don't want to breastfeed in public. And it's hard to, I will get back to you in 2 months, but I'm pretty sure it's hard to decide to breastfeed and then not be able to breastfeed in public unless, you know, you just hole up for the first 6 months of your baby's life. So, again, more participants agreed than disagreed that if you're going to go back to work, you should feed your baby formula. So a comparison of the fathers versus non-fathers. Fathers did score significantly higher on the IFAS scale than the non-fathers did. Some other significant differences were also in education. Those who had a college education scored highest, so that tells us they've had a little bit more experience knowledge-wise. Race, highest was those who were white, and the lowest was category of other. So exposure to breastfeeding, this is really interesting to me. So men who observed 5 or more different women breastfeeding, 60% of those were college educated. So showing us that the more education you have, there's more exposure. more likely to have observed five or more women breastfeeding. We see married men, fathers, and higher income. So again, it all makes sense. And this is where it matters. Exposure to breastfeeding does make a difference. Men who observed more than five women breastfeeding scored 4.8 points higher than men who reported never observing women breastfeed. So exposure to it really made a difference. So just to kind of breeze through some of the indications, father's role in the breastfeeding decision is very significant. It is, at this point, devalued to a certain degree. In a lot of the studies that I was able to read through, men are not confident in that decision. They are not confident that they have a significant role. And so that's where we really need to bolster, you know, what we're giving them, the resources we're providing them. And then higher education, we see that in other research, more positive attitudes. We've also seen before that attitudes differ across fatherhood status. And just here, the Mexican-American, non-Hispanic, white are significantly more likely to have been breastfed compared to non-Hispanic, black. We actually see that in our study with similarities of exposure. White and Mexican-American and non-Hispanic white were much more likely to have been exposed to more breastfeeding than were non-Hispanic black. So some just important things to remember about the role of the fathers. There is a negative effect from indifferent male attitudes. So when we were talking more towards the beginning and I shared just about how the scale they scored right around the neutral zone, a little bit towards the positive. This is where it comes into really mattering. A negative effect does affect the mother's choice. So if the father is indifferent or negative about breastfeeding, the mother is significantly less likely to breastfeed or to be successful with breastfeeding. And strong approval of fathers from this particular study that was done, remember actually, I think 2010, strong approval of fathers showed 98.1% of initiation in breastfeeding compared to low rates of initiation, 26.9% among fathers with indifference. So that's a statistic that I just think is really just puts a lot of weight behind everything that's been said about involving fathers. If just indifference drops it down to a third, from almost 100% to a third, then fathers matter, and what they are educated on and how they're involved really matters. Based on this study, variables that affect attitudes were fatherhood status, race, level of education, and exposure to breastfeeding. Particularly from what we gathered, exposure would be one of the most modifiable variables and should be a focus on how we can actually change this so that you know, we would love to be able to change everything else, maybe not fatherhood status, like we'll wait for that to happen naturally, but exposure is something that we can change and that we can change now. So just some things that we identified were increasing curriculum in schools, improving the prenatal and antenatal care, aimed specifically towards fathers, so not just improving the care in general, but how it can specifically be focused towards fathers, and then also developing targeted media campaigns to use exposure as a way to help men see it more and be more comfortable with it and have a stronger, more positive attitudes towards it. So these are all things that we already went over. Just the ambivalence of males does lead to concern over improving breastfeeding rates, so something that we can really focus on, and just a need to increase understanding of their attitudes. So continued research on it, continuing to really bolster the literature with things surrounding this nature is really important. So that's it. Are there any questions that you guys have?
Program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, I didn't know that.
And I also got four. And this seems not to say. My approach is not to talk to men, I'm talking to father. That's the reason that we are not talking about it. It's very interesting that you're talking more about non fathers, but I think about this. My focus is on the one who is talking to the and I just used another one that is just exposed here. It's using an African immigrant in Texas.
I live in Texas.
And to ask why you did support the one, why you did that, and why you support the white person. And that's in the words of the conversation.
Exactly. Yes, great. Thank you for sharing that. So obviously the point of this is to improve what is already out there, bolster what's already out there, and then continue to provide more resources. So, yes. 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 So we did run multiple logistic regression, and what we found to still be of importance were age and education and race were the three that were still of significant value, pulling out everything else. Yes, yes. Yes, we have. We've mostly limited it just to one model, trying to do reverse regression so that we can go through, put everything in, and then take out the variables that aren't of significance. They do interplay on each other so much that it is really hard to really get a good statistic coming out of that, but it is really helpful, yes, to be able to do that kind of analysis on it. Anything else? Okay, thank you.